You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's Full Time with Matt Jones, and the World Cup is fast approaching. So we're launching a new series ahead of the tournament here on Full Time called World Cup Memories. And basically, we're just going to speak to people about their memories of playing at a World Cup, maybe watching a World Cup, or maybe covering it as a reporter. And there's only one place to start when it comes to people who've got an association with Merseyside and also the World Cup, and that, of course, is Ray Houghton for some of his famous moments playing for Ireland. So it's a very good afternoon to Ray. Good afternoon, Ray.
Hey, an afternoon to you.
Great to have you on. First of all, let's talk a little bit about your international career in general, because you were born in Scotland, but you were qualified to play for Ireland.
Yeah, I was qualified through my father. My dad was born in Donegal, a place called Buncrana, and it wasn't until 1985, really, when Jack Charlton took over as manager. He came to watch Aston Villa versus Oxford. I was playing at Oxford at the time alongside John Aldridge. It was the first leg of the semi-final of the Milk Cup. And Jack liked what he'd seen. And after the game, spoke to John, because he was happy with the way John played, scored in the game. And afterwards, John had mentioned also that I qualified for Ireland. So he asked me to come along, and it wasn't that long afterwards that I made my debut against Wales.
How easy a decision was that to go and play for Ireland?
Well, I mean, it was a big decision, obviously, because, you know, I grew up in Scotland. You know, I was born in Glasgow. So, you know, that would have been my preference at the time, if I was being brutally honest. But they never came in for me. I mean, I had a trial when I was 17, 18, when I was at West Ham United for the youth team. That didn't work out. I must admit, it was a very bad experience that I had while I was up there. And then after that, never really got an opportunity. So from that point of view, it was an easy decision because there was no other country coming in for me at that stage. So it was just Ireland, but it was whether I was going to try to hold on and see what was going to happen with Scotland. I just thought it was too good an opportunity to turn down.
Absolutely. And you ended up playing for Ireland during a real strong period for the country under a brilliant manager in Jack Charlton.
Yeah, we had some very favourable times, starting with qualifying for the Euros in 88. Went to the World Cup in 90, lost out in 92 to England, where we were really unfortunate. We didn't lose a game in qualifying and just got pipped at the post, if you like, by England themselves. 94, we got to the World Cup once again, and 96 just missed out against Holland for the Euros in England, which was a big loss, really, for us, because that would have been brilliant. The amount of fans Ireland would have brought over for that would have been incredible. And once again, I lost out in 98 in a playoff against Belgium over the two legs. We lost that, and that really was the end of my international career.
We'll get on to some of those famous World Cup games and moments for you in a moment or two. But what was Jack like to play under?
Yeah, very direct, very honest, brutally honest about what he wanted. He didn't like you playing the ball around at the back. He wasn't one to play into midfield just to get the game going. He wanted you to get the ball forward quickly. But in the attacking third, really, you had carte blanche to do what you want. You know, he didn't mind you trying things, but we'll be tied if you give the ball away at the back, or if you give it away in midfield, he would not have been happy with you. So he knew exactly what he wanted. He obviously played international football, won the World Cup with England. He sort of knew what international football was about, and he felt that too many teams were given the license, really, to, once you gave the ball away, everyone just retreated into their own half. They would walk forward at their own pace and then start attacks from there. Jack didn't want that. Jack wanted to put the opposition under pressure high up the field, try to win the ball back in better areas to affect the game. And it worked well in our favour. You know, we had to adapt to what you wanted, because, you know, if you were the likes of Ronnie Whelan and Liam Brady, that wasn't the style of football that you were used to playing. So it was a big change for a lot of the lads, but I thought we adapted very well to what we had to do to get the right results.
Absolutely. You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's Full Time. Matt Jones here, and I'm speaking to former Liverpool man Ray Houghton on our new series World Cup Memories, and he's telling us about some of his fantastic times playing for Ireland in the 80s and 90s. Let's focus in on the World Cups then, because you played in 1990 in Italy and then 94 as well in the United States. We'll start with Italy, and you mentioned the England game. That tournament, a good tournament, but maybe not as good as the one was to come for Ireland.
Well, yeah, that was a good tournament because we reached the quarterfinals. You know, quarterfinals of the World Cup. You know, that was incredible in 1990. You know, but we got some idea of what it was going to be like in 88 when we played in the Euros. You know, but once you get to the World Cup, it is just so much bigger than anything you've ever seen before. You know, the media hype, the preparation for it, and then you get into the games itself. I mean, the matches weren't particularly great. We drew with England in Sardinia, and then we went afterwards and drew two matches against Egypt and Holland. And the last game in the group stage against Holland, you know, we both needed to draw. So nothing really happened after it went 1-1. There wasn't a lot going on in the game, which made us both qualify. And we were a little bit fortunate because in the last 16, we got Romania. So that was a better tie for Ireland. And then we went to penalty kicks in that game. I mean, they had the great Georgie Hadji in their team. And they were probably at that stage seen to be a better side than us. But we did what we had to do. We were in Genoa for the game. It was a really hot day. Went to extra time, still 0-0. And eventually, you know, we were fortunate enough to go through in penalties and played against Italy in the last eight, the host nation. Playing at the Olympic Stadium in Rome, you can't ask for much more than that.
You certainly can't. But is there anything that can prepare you for the media spotlight, the hype and everything that comes with a World Cup? Because it's watched globally, as opposed to back then, I suppose, in the 80s and 90s, there wasn't quite as much of a focus on the Premier League over here or the First Division as it was, because we didn't have Sky broadcasting so many matches and we didn't have Match of the Day showing every match. They just showed one. Was there anything that could prepare you for it?
No, not really, to be honest. It's not like today. I think the players will be a lot more ready for it, you know, because I think with social media, one thing and another, you know, they're used to this now. They've been brought up with the technology. They know what the world's voices are as far as, you know, what they are as players and what they should be doing and not doing. And players have to handle that pressure. Excuse me, and I think they've done that very well, and I think all the players will be really prepared going into it. It'll be a marvellous tournament, as it always is every 4 years. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be to quite a few, not just as a player, but as a journalist as well, you know, in the media side of things, and it's incredible, you know, the amount of work that goes into it. And for the players, you know, it really is just you turning up. You know, you have to come with your game face on, you have to have your preparation right. And there's a lot of games in quick succession. And that's, I think that's key, that you've got the right balance to your squad. You believe in the players that you're bringing are good enough to help you through all the matches that you're going to play. Not every one of them is going to be great. You're going to have some indifferent performances. You know, you're going to have some games that aren't quite as good as others. But you have to be ready to get through them. And I know that from experience, you know, getting to the quarterfinals against Italy, we were all over Italy, you know, from Sardinia to Sicily to Genoa and others for matches. And you just have to get that side of it, you get your focus for it. And I'm sure the players will be ready for that. The media side, yeah, I think they'll be okay now. I think with the way social media is today, the players are more than used to what will come their way. And it's just down to playing. And that's where the manager has to do his stuff, as far as, you know, just getting the focus right for all the players going into the matches.
Absolutely. Right, let's fast forward 4 years then, because you lose to Italy in the quarterfinals in 1990, but you get the chance to get revenge on them in 94, and you are the hero. You score that brilliant goal that I'm sure everyone has seen on TV.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm very fortunate. And I've been lucky in my 73 games that I played for Ireland. I only got 6 goals. But they were all big goals. You know, I didn't score in a friendly. All of them were in qualifying matches or tournament football. You know, I scored in 88 when we played in the European Championships against England. First time we'd ever qualified for a major tournament. First goal was against England, and I was fortunate enough to score it. So I'm still well remembered all over the world, as Irish fans will tell you, for that. And also the goal in 94. You know, you said revenge, and in some respects you're quite right, but it didn't make up for the loss, you know, in 1990. You know, when you look back in your career, you know, and you think of what you could have done. I mean, Italy was there that evening for the taking in 1990. I mean, I remember Niall Quinn having a header saved by the goalkeeper. I think it was Walter Zenger on the night. That goes in, we go 1-0 up, and it might have been a different game. So they're the little things you look back on. You know, 1994 was, you know, different situation, different players, different venue over in America. Certainly, once again, going into it, Italy were firm favourites to win. But, you know, we dug out a result that day once again. You know, we kept to our game plan. All our players had to play at the peak of the very best, performance-wise, and we got the result. But it, as a tournament, it wasn't that great after that. Having lost to Mexico, I think we drew in Norway, and then eventually went out against Holland in the last 16.
Can you talk us through the goal? What was going through your head at the time?
The long ball downfield. Baresi, I think it was the one. It wasn't a great header for him, which was unusual because he was such a fantastic defender. I remember chesting it. I looked to my left-hand side where Steve Staunton was playing on the left-hand side of midfield. I was about looking to play the ball to him just to retain possession, but Stevie was marked by the fullback, and the ball just sat lovely, and I just thought, hit it, why not? You know, it doesn't matter where it goes. You know, no one's going to tell you off for having a shot at goal. And then your emotions are different. You know, when I first hit it, I thought the goalkeeper was going to save it. My second thought was going over the top of the crossbar. And then my third one, when I hit the back of the net, well, I was off and running. I had my family over. My wife was at the game. My sons were at the game. I had friends over as well. So really, I just wanted to go and celebrate, not just with my teammates and the fans in the stadium, but with my family, because I'd had a tough period where I was in and out of the team and people were beginning to question me. So it was nice just to say, look, yeah, I'm still here. I can still do it. And, you know, you'll always be remembered for scoring at a World Cup.
Certainly will. Ray, brilliant memories, a fantastic career as well. But to play at two World Cups as well must have been, alongside the titles you won, the trophies you won as well, it must have been the pinnacle for you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as a footballer, there's certain things that you go through. You know, from a very young age, you want to become a professional at a football club. You want to get into the first team. You want to win trophies. You want to win the league. You want to win the FA Cup. You want to win all the cups that you can. And then internationally, you know, you want to play at the highest level that you can. And you don't get any high on the World Cup. Let me tell you, these players who have been out to represent the country in Russia are very, very fortunate. They're the lucky ones. The rest of us will be there in different guises, you know, as pundits, commentators, supporters, watching it on TV, wherever it may be. But they're the lucky ones. They're the ones that can do something about it. And I wish every one of them goes out there and play to the potential. And then eventually we'll see the best team come away with the trophy.
We certainly will. It's going to be a brilliant tournament. Enjoy it, Ray. And thank you so much for sharing your memories with us on Radio City Talk this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Matt. Pleasure, mate.